Long Po just asking about the another group that's supposed to be here, and he just tell everybody that your Malaysian group is here with us today. So today we have Malaysians, we have Chinese, and supposed to be another group from a university. So now he's checking whether the transmissions are okay. In fact, Buddhism can be considered either as a religion or not as a religion. It's practically a study explaining about sufferings and how can we get out of it. Buddhism is a study about logic, cause and effects. If you give the good input, the results would be in according to what you give in. Even Einstein mentioned that Buddhism is actually a type of science. Everything is explainable. It's not rely on blind faith or just unsound beliefs. For example, if it start off with believing in God, and if the God doesn't exist anymore, that religion or that belief can't go on any longer. But for Buddhists, belief, everything is based on cause and effects and logic. If this thing happened, it would yield this result, that kind of thing. And it doesn't rely on interpretation, because it's a study about the pure nature, the true characteristics of things, of all existence. If it's based on belief, it's bound to have interpretations. And it's bound to have diversions from the core. Because this is totally up to the individual. But for Buddhism, it's based on facts. So no matter how many Buddhas or how long the time has passed, the fact is still the fact. So if we practice and gain the understanding of what these facts are, we can reach the end of suffering. The sufferings are still there because it's the nature, but it's not going to take over your mind and your heart. Most people believe, though, that if you don't have desire or greed, you're not going to have suffering. Like, if you want to be rich, and if you don't have enough money, you won't be happy. You can't be happy in their mind. Or if you want a car and you can't get it for some reasons, then you're not going to be happy. But so basically they believe that if they can't fulfill the greed or the desires, they can't be happy. Their happiness is impossible. But in fact, for Buddhists, we believe that if there's a desire, whether or not it's fulfilled, it's there's suffering. The desire itself is suffering.
ความสามารถสักแค่ไหนในการสนองความอยากได้ตลอดเวลา
But in fact, really, how can a person fulfill all their greed? How can they go about trying to achieve all their desires? So our mundane people are just basically slaves to desires. It's never ending. It never decreases, actually. But some people do believe, though, that you can decrease your desire. Some philosophers try to find a way to control the desire. For example, they might use technique of self-torturing. Like if you want to sleep, then you won't sleep. Or you try to starve yourself and deprive yourself from all this luxury or desires. But then what they don't see, though, is that they're actually fulfilling a desire of not having desire. So they actually can't see that they're having a desire to reject greed or, you know, wanting. Some people also try to win over desires by finding more things that would satiate the need more delicately, find something more fulfilling. But what they forget, though, is that coming with what is good to perceive would also be the bad side of things. Like if you smell something nice, that's also existing in the world, something that smells really bad. So there are two sides of things. Another technique that many people use is to put their mind in this trance or tranquil state, like in jhana. They believe that by lifting their mind or their concentration level to this tranquility, they would be free or they can win the desires. Because in that trance state, there's no desire really, just peace, calmness. But they don't remember that once they get out of that trance, that state, everything would rush back. So the Buddha teach us ways to get out of being slaves of desires. He teach us to observe if there's no reason to have desire, then there's no there's less cause to suffering. The core, the foundation of all sufferings is ignorance. Because people don't understand that this attachment to body and mind is the subject to suffering. They don't see that the mind or the body can be either good or bad, can yield either happiness or unhappiness, wholesomeness or unwholesomeness. And if there is still attachment to wholesomeness, they will always be seeking for ways to achieve wholesomeness. So there always be desires. So we have to learn the fact that both body and mind are subject to suffering. The detachment to our body and mind is suffering. So symbolically speaking, if there's a fire, if we haven't touched it, we wouldn't understand really how hot it is or how harmful it can be to yourself. So we have to experience it directly. And we can't want it to not harm you or not be hot, because that's the fact, that's its nature. So what basically we have to learn here is to gain the understanding that this body is actually a cause of suffering and is subject to suffering, and as well as the mind. And by wanting the body and the mind to perceive just only good things or wholesomeness is purely innocent and actually illogical. So if the mind gain the understanding that everything yields both way, good and bad, wholesomeness and unwholesomeness, there would be no more attachment or seeking for only the good or the better side of things. And when there's no seeking, no wanting, the mind would gain this peacefulness, this tranquility, this serenity, and this wisdom automatically. Once the mind reached this state, it would stay in this peaceful, this content and wholesome state, as in the experience when you reach Nirvana. Your mind will experience the true liberation, the true peace and contentment from within. So what we're studying here is to understand how and techniques or ways we can reach that state, we can go beyond suffering to truly gain the true understanding that both body and mind are suffering, and not just attach or choose to believe only the good side of things and try to run to chase after all the good things. It's not a pessimistic view. It's a mature view. It's to see things how it naturally are. To see things by facts, that all things are either physical matter or mental matter. They just matters.
The Buddha
teaches us ways to get out of suffering, to end the suffering. If he only said that everything is suffering and everything is unwholesomeness and are fabrications, then it can be easily understood that as a pessimistic view, but he actually gives us ways to get out of suffering. And he shows us logic, what caused the suffering and how to end it. And his ultimate goal is Nirvana, which if you follow the path, it's reachable. And by achieving Nirvana is to abandon all defilements, to abandon attachments and ignorance, the misunderstanding that all things are subject to suffering. So we're not running away from some suffering. We would observe and study them. And once we gain the full understanding with unbiased view, Nirvana is just that. Is reachable. Now he asked us to observe our own mind when the light flashed. Could you see that your mind kind of compressed, felt a little stressful just then? And then the mind wandered off. Now we come back to the Dhamma. But what he said about learning about suffering is we have to start by observing, and we would understand it by achieving this level of understanding we call wisdom. And that's only by direct experience and through observations. And by observing, we would be able to follow the characteristic, the behavior of the body and mind, and we would gradually see the true natures of these, and eventually gain the understanding of these natures, and that's wisdom. By reading or listening to Dhamma or scriptures is not considered as a true wisdom because it's not our direct experiences. It's the master's knowledge or experiences. What we can only do from doing those is just reciting or thinking or pondering those knowledge. We probably could get a glimpse of what they're talking about, but it wouldn't be from within our heart, you know, from within ourselves, because we don't really get to experience that directly. So the heart here is to observe things directly, to see its natural states. The first thing is we have to cultivate mindfulness first to be able to observe things without bias, and then eventually we will gain wisdom. Mindfulness or sati is the ability to detect what's going on within the body or in mind.
ถ้าเราไม่มีสติเราก็คือเราลืมกายเราลืมใจแล้วจะเรียนอะไร
So if we don't have sati or basically consciousness we just lost in thoughts or daydreaming
and
That way we can't observe, we won't know what's going on with the body and the mind. Because basically we just lost ourselves. Like when we daydreaming or thinking of something, we totally forget about our own body. And even our mind.Because we just totally lost and submerged in these thoughts. Sati or mindfulness in the worldly sense and Buddhist sense, practice sense are a little bit different. To be mindful in the worldly sense is we have to be able to have this consciousness, knowing what you're doing, you know, knowing what's going on in the world. But in Buddhist sense or in practicing sense, is that you have to be mindful of what's going on within the body and the mind. And just listen to the bell.See how your mind reacts to the bell.
สังเกตไหมตอนที่หลวงพ่อหยุดพูดฟังรับคำเนี่ยนะทีเราก็รู้สึกตัวบางทีเราก็หนีไป
Can you notice that when he's stopped talking and everybody's listening to the bell, can you see that your mind wanders off momentarily and sometimes comes back to yourself, or sometimes just wondering why he stopped talking, you know, all these thoughts going on. So what he's trying to point out here is that if you wonders, if your mind wanders off or you lost in thoughts or pay attention to something else outside your body and mind, you forget about your body and mind. And how can you observe the true nature?Of these things. So the ultimately, you have to be mindful within your body and your mind. However, the nature of the mind is to wander off. You can't really control it, but it's trainable. So we have to practice often to give it a new habit of.Liking to be within the body and the mind, not only just wander off all the time aimlessly. So first here, we have to have the attention that we will be mindful as often as possible and be mindfulof what the body is experiencing and what's going on in your mind. Like, you have to be aware when you're breathing in, when you're breathing out, or when you feel anger arises, your heartbeat, your breathing change accordingly.So the more you practice and have the attention of having a awareness, your mind would gain this new habit and familiarity. You know, like for example, you have a cousin and you haven't seenseen this person for the longest time, you can't really think of how they look, how they are currently, right? So, but if you meet with this person often or frequently, you don't even have to think or, you know, to imagine how they look like or how they are. You can just know. So that's basically the same as cultivating mindfulness. You have to do it often. And some people misunderstand that by doing samadhi or concentration meditation, you'll be able to gain mindfulness or wisdom. But actually, it's the opposite. Because by doing only the concentration meditation, your mind just stay passive or still. It wouldn't observe or learn the true nature of anything because it just stays still. Okay. So the first step you can practice is if your mind wanders off to something, just know that it is doing that. You don't have to pull it back. Just know that it wanders off. Or you can do the chanting in your mind, like Buddho, Buddho, Buddho. And while you're chanting that, and your mind wanders off to thinking it's something else besides Buddho, just know that it's doing so. And when you know that your mind already runs off, the awareness arises automatically, and the concentration would arise automatically as well. So the more you knew it, the mind would gain this habit. And whenever your mind wanders off, the awareness would arise automatically. Because it's so accustomed to knowing already. If you don't like chanting, and you prefer using breathing technique, don't do it to gain peacefulness only, because it wouldn't bring you to wisdom cultivation. So now you change the tactic a little bit. Just know that the body is doing the breathing in and out. Just know the big picture of it. The more you do it, also whenever from that onward, when the body does any movement, you would automatically have this awareness of this movement. It doesn't matter if your mind goes off to thinking. Just know that it is doing that. And the more you do it, whenever you the mind goes off to thinking, whatever the action or position you are in, or the time you are in, the awareness would arise automatically. Because it's familiar to know that this is the action of wandering off to thinking. Okay, now he's pointing out at someone that her mind is compressed, or there's some type of emotions or feelings taking over the awareness. Like she's locked in this type of emotions at the time. So we have to avoid that. So whenever the mind is experiencing anything, just be aware that it is in that current state. The more you do it, the mind would become more nimble and alert to phenomenon. And those are the qualities of the mind that we're looking for in order to have this wisdom cultivation. And we call that awakened state. Yeah, because most of the time people just live in the world half conscious because they're lost in thoughts most of the time. So we're not going to follow what we're thinking about. We're just going to be knowing that it is doing the thinking. And once we know that the mind is wandering off to thinking, the awareness arises, and the awakening state. So just pick a technique or an object of concentration, like a home base, so to speak, like chanting or breathing. And when the mind moves away from the home base, just know that it is doing so. Just know all these changes. Just observe the changes. And eventually you will understand the concept of impermanence, that everything is so fleeting, and you will understand the concept of non-self, because you can't control this phenomenon. You have to gain these qualities or abilities of having the awareness arising automatically from direct practice. In comparison to other type of living creatures, human is the only category that can improve, can progress, can evolve mentally and spiritually. And the way to do it is to have to start off with mindfulness. So in some, just pick a home base or object of concentration, your focal point basically. Like if you take breathing as your home base, just keep breathing. And if your mind wanders off, just know so. Or if you do the walking meditation, or your body is doing any movement, just know that the movement. And when the mind moves off from knowing this movement, just know so. So the key is to know the action, the behavior of the mind, the changes within the mind. We're not going to force the mind to stay still or to be peaceful, because if it's passive or still, it's not going to be able to detect all these changes or realize all the phenomenon going on around you. Okay, so that's it for the first session.